Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 11, verses 18 to 27. John chapter 11, verses 18 to 27. And keep in mind this subject, I am the resurrection. All right, let's read. John chapter 11, verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, there are several things that you want to pick up here before we actually get into the discussion of what Jesus Christ said to her. And the first thing that you want to notice is, she said to Jesus Christ in verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And that's a very true statement. D.L. Moody said that he was asked to preach his first funeral. And when he got ready to preach it, he thought, well, the best thing he could do is go to his Bible and find out what Jesus Christ preached at any funeral that he ever preached. Well, if you read through the Gospels, Jesus Christ never preached a funeral because nobody that was dead stayed dead around Jesus Christ, and nobody that was alive could die around him. It was an amazing thing. But he's life. If you'd been here, my brother had not died. No one died around Jesus, and those that were dead that he wanted to raise, he raised. Notice in Matthew chapter 11, when John the Baptist sent word to Jesus if he was really the one they were looking for, Jesus said, Go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The dead are raised up. It was a testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ, in fact, is the resurrection and the life. Look in Luke chapter 7. What Martha said was certainly with foundation. I mean, she had a reason to believe what she was saying was so and know that it was so. Look in Luke chapter 7, verse 12. Verse 11 for the context. He went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man. There you go. A dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. So Jesus Christ could raise him up, and that was certainly something that Martha knew. Look in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and look at verse 18. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. In another passage, you know that this fellow's name is Jairus. And worshipped him, saying, or Jairus, I guess, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so do his disciples. Well, there's an interruption there, and then in verse 23, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. See, there were a lot of people who didn't believe it. Martha did. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. So he healed the widow of Nain's son, and he healed Jairus' daughter, or raised, I should say, raised, not healed, raised Jairus' daughter, who had died. Then look again, when he went over to, well, we're going to see it in Lazarus. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And then when he came down from the mount, they went down to Peter's wife's house, or his house, and his wife's mother was there, his mother-in-law, and she was sick of a fever, in Matthew 8:14. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. I mean, right now it happened. And that's the way it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. What he was able to accomplish in her life is that if that fever was a fever that would have killed her, then not only did he heal her from the fever, but she got up immediately, see, and began to serve them. It's real healing, not one of these, now, you know, take a few aspirin and take some antibiotics and we'll pray to the Lord and then in time you'll be healed, right? All right, and one more time, look in Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 39. Mark chapter 5 and look at verse 39. When he was come in, he saith unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. This is Jairus' daughter. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put out them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand. Now you know how he did it. And said unto her, Talithai kuma, or Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. So was she 12 years old. And they were astonished with great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it. See how fast? I mean, right now. And that's the kind of thing he did. All right, now. The next thing that happens, because she said, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. That is the absolute truth. But now watch this. In verse 24, Martha saith unto him, when Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again, in response to the thing she had said, if you, whatever you ask God, he'll give it thee. She said, thy brother shall rise again. He was getting ready to do it. But she said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, there were people who believed that, and the reason that there were people believed that there was going to be a resurrection is because it had been prophesied in the Old Testament. She said, I know he's going to rise again at the last day. Well, what he was telling her is, I'm fixing to do it. Look in Ezekiel 37. We've looked at this numerous times. You probably are very familiar with the passage. Ezekiel 37, verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Who is it? It's the whole house of Israel. It's the whole house of Israel. Verse 11, he saith unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now they knew there was going to be a resurrection. It had been prophesied, and not only that, they knew who, some of us, they knew who was going to rise. Look in verse 24. David my servant shall be king over them. verse 23 for the context, you see that he's going out into the fulfillment of what he just told you about that resurrection. David, my servant, shall be king over them. David's going to rise. Now, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter's preaching, David hadn't risen yet. He said his sepulcher is with us unto this day. So it was a future resurrection, a resurrection that had been prophesied, a resurrection that Martha believed in. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ referred to it in John chapter 6 when he was preaching the fact that he was the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse 39, Jesus said, "This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Look again in John chapter 6, verse 40. "This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Martha believed that. Verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Look again in verse 54. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So when Jesus responded to Martha's statement, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee," I guess she was expecting him to go down on a knee and say, "God, give me the life of Lazarus, raise him from the dead," because she knew about Jairus' daughter, knew about the widow's son, knew about the testimony, there were probably others, that the dead were raised. I mean, it was common knowledge about Jesus Christ. He even sent that word back to John the Baptist. Ask him. "Whatever you ask of God, God will give it thee. He said, thy brother shall rise again." But I guess the way that he said it convinced her, "Why worry about it, woman? If I was in such a rush, I would have come down here right when the request came instead of sticking around for 2 days. Thy brother shall rise again." So she figured it was the coming resurrection. "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus had testified about it. The Old Testament had prophesied it. And the Pharisees of her day believed it. The Pharisees of her day believed it. Look in Acts chapter 23. The Sadducees didn't, but the Pharisees did. So it was common knowledge. Acts chapter 23, verse 6. "But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question.' And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." So the Pharisees of Jesus' day, of Martha's day, believed in the resurrection of the last day. So she was just stating what was already common knowledge. But now watch how Jesus Christ answers her, because that's the subject of this lesson today. "I am the resurrection." He showed her something else that's important to us. Look in verses 25 and 26 of John chapter 11. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe." And then she goes on to state something. "That thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Now, after this, she left. She didn't stick around. But Jesus Christ made a very important statement. "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, we know he's the life. In John chapter 1, when John the Baptist told us about Jesus Christ, and these things were recorded by John the Apostle, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." I mean, there is no life apart from Jesus Christ. Without him was not anything made that was made. So he's the life, see? And Jesus even said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." He says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Life is in Jesus Christ. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he goes on to describe two events. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. One event. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, you know what he's describing? Well, I'll show you what he's describing. At least in part, he's describing this. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 50. At least in part, he's talking about the rapture. And the reason I say in part is because the rapture of the church and the rapture of the tribulation saints are different things, and it appears that both are similar. In other words, there is a resurrection of dead and living saints at the church age rapture, and there is a resurrection of dead and living saints at the tribulation rapture. But the one that's so well described is the rapture of the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. And watch what you're reading about. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now both groups have just been revealed to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says here in verse 50, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Those are the dead in Christ. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the corruption that cannot inherit incorruption. Those are the dead. In verse 51, when he says, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. Sleep commonly refers to death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, which is true. We're all going to get a glorified body, but we're not all going to die. That's the second group. That's verse 26 of John chapter 11. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Watch how it carries out in the passage. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Okay, there's your corruption then. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, the second group, those that live and believe on me that shall never die, we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible, the dead in Christ, must put on incorruption, and this mortal, those that are alive at his return, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal, and he that liveth and believeth in me, shall never die, shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So you see what you're looking at then is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 55, where the rapture is described in great detail by Paul, you have two groups, the corruption or the corruptible. Those are the ones that have already been put in the grave. When Peter was talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he quoted something out of Psalm 16, and he said this statement right here, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ was in the grave, but his body did not see corruption because he did not sin. The reason there is corruption in the body after death is because of sin. So he didn't corrupt in the grave. We do. The corruption then are those that are dead that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will live again. He that, he says here, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then there's another group described in here, and that's the mortal. Mortal means your life is finite, you're going to die. Must put on immortality means you're never going to die. That's the group that is changed. That is the group that we shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep. That is the group where he says the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Those of us that are alive at the coming of Christ. That's the, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, let's confirm that by going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the rapture is discussed again, and see if these things are not so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There are the two groups again. There is the dead in Christ. Those are the corruptible that are experiencing corruption and that need to put on the incorruptible. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Those guys don't go through death. Those are the mortal that must put on immortality, that must be changed with the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we which are alive and remain are those that he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So he made a great description of something very prophetic. And this whole event of somebody being alive at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and going up is pictured by Enoch in the Old Testament. Enoch never died, and he never will. In Genesis chapter 5, we read about Enoch in verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, if you go over to Jude and you read in Jude, you'll read about Enoch. There's only one chapter there. And Enoch preached this saying. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, and this is in Jude 14, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He prophesied the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before the Lord's coming, he walked with God, and God took him. You say, well, that doesn't say whether he died or didn't die. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 will clear it up for you in case you're wondering. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So that's a very interesting thing then. We see a picture of it in the Old Testament. We see a prophecy of this resurrection in the Old Testament, but it's prophesied concerning the resurrection of the last day. Jesus spoke of that or testified of that in John chapter 6. The Pharisees believed it. Martha believed it. And God showed him something else when Jesus said, we're going to make him rise. We're going to make him rise right now. And then in our next lesson or the one after that, depending, then Lazarus is going to come up out of that grave right then, right then, right when he says so. So this is an amazing passage of Scripture here. Great revelation of truth. And then he says to her, believest thou this? And my question to you is, do you believe this? I mean, you see it in 1 Corinthians 15. You see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see it in Enoch's life. You see it in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 11. I mean, you've got ample witness to it. And you know how, I just don't have any idea how it is, there are some people today who honestly say, I don't believe there's a rapture. I don't believe this really happens. Well, the problem is the same that all things are about all things concerning the Bible. The biggest problem everybody has with the Bible is that they refuse to believe what's written there. They've got to change it. They've got to go back to the Greek. They've got to find it in another translation. They got to define it a different way. They got to make it say what they want it to say. Anything but believe what it says. You know what it says? It says, we shall be changed. It says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know what I'm looking for? I'm not looking for death. Lord willing, I'm looking for a full life, and I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to return in my lifetime. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to be one of those in John chapter 11, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And that excites me. Oftentimes when I'm at church preaching in our pulpit here at Bible Believers Baptist Church, I'll say to the folks, you know, this could be the day the Lord comes to get us out of here. And everybody shout, amen, we're looking for his return. Paul even said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. I want to see him. We even sing a song about that in church. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. That's amazing. And there are people that don't believe it. I'm looking for it. I want it. I hope this lesson today has encouraged you to live out your life to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We often say, I'll do such and such, Lord willing. Or I'll say, we'll do such and such. Or we want our kids to do such and such, should the Lord tarry. We want to see our Savior. We're ready to go up. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I don't want to see death. I want to go through alive and be changed at the coming of the Lord. Now, if you really see this, now what we looked at yesterday was the periods of thousand-year periods and likening those to days and all that kind of stuff. I believe, and I sure don't have any idea when it's going to be, but I believe that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture is going to be soon. I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I hope it is. It may not be, but I hope it is. I look forward to that. Let me ask you a question. If, in fact, that's the way it's going to be, are you living your life right now the way that you ought to be living your life right now to be prepared for the return of the Lord? Amos said to the people he preached to back there in the book of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Are you doing right now those very things that you hope Jesus Christ will find you doing when he returns? If not, why don't you clean up that act? Are you doing everything that you wanted to do before the Lord returned? Have you witnessed to all the people you wanted to witness to? Have you done all the things that you wanted to do? Have you completed the list? If not, get high behind, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Get on with it. Finish it up. And I believe he's coming soon. And I look for his return.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.